You're listening to FMGradio.com. Welcome to The Happiness Choice, a show that shares with you the secrets to how you can find more happiness each day, with your host, Marilyn Tam.
Hello and welcome. This is Marilyn Tam, your host on The Happiness Choice. Today we bring back Faisal Hawk, who last week shared with us his great stories about how he maintains happiness through some challenging and exciting times. And before we go forward, I should remind you of who this wonderful man is. Faisal Hawk is a serial entrepreneur, thought leader, and author. He is the founder of Shadowka, a portfolio of companies that accelerates individual and organizational sustainable growth. He's the author of several books, including Everything Connects, How to Transform and Lead in the Age of Creativity, Innovation, and Sustainability. Faisal was formerly an executive at GE and other global brands. He regularly contributes to Fast Company, Huffington Post, and is in the Wall Street Journal, Business Week, Mergers and Acquisitions, Forbes, and many other publications. He has been named one of the top 100 most influential people in technology and also as one of the top 100 thought leaders. So please help me welcome back Faisal.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thanks for having me.
I just can't wait to hear your advice to others on how to be happy, because you've had your own challenges coming to here as a young person by yourself, having to work your way through a lot of hardship, working while you're going to school and doing all the things to create a life that now you are able to give back and have a perspective. So what would you give to other people who may be in some process of doing what you've done already?
Marilyn, one of the things I have found during this whole process is the fact that a lot of the things that we think that makes us happy is actually quite paradoxical. So, for example, you know, in my darkest moments when, let's say, I have failed at something or I lost a venture that I cultivated for a long time, which I have in the past, you know, when I was young, I used to think that, you know, what a disaster, and I would almost like dive into myself. And now, you know, what I found that in the process of the adversity, when you try to inspire other people, despite your own adversity, it actually inspires yourself simultaneously, which is kind of productive, because how can you inspire other people where you're on your knees? But if you're able to do that, that gives you enormous amount of satisfaction, and it creates a level of inspiration that you would not get otherwise. And this is something that I did not know. This is something I have to discover myself along the way. It's like the power of giving. When you give, you actually get more. And it is hardest to give when you don't have anything to give. But when you are able to do that, that's exactly where happiness comes from.
Mm-hmm. That is such a good story of how to explain that. I talk about this also in The Happiness Choice, about gratitude, which is what you're talking about in a way, and giving. Both of those concepts is when we are feeling the most empty, the most in need of support. If we turn that around and say, let's give thanks, let's give whatever we have to share, then it multiplies it. And it's not an empty concept. As I mentioned in my book, The Happiness Choice, I cite some very good examples and research about this, is that when we give, it really expands our emotional and our mind so that we're able to see bigger and feel greater and more comfortable and happy with ourselves. So thank you for sharing your actual practical example about that. So what else would you say to somebody who's saying, okay, so I'm trying to give back when I'm really feeling not so good about myself and worried about my own livelihood? What else can I do?
I think at some point in some article, I defined these three points, main points that helps you to go through this process. And it's really about building up your resiliency and dealing with your adversity, which in turn makes you a better person and makes you more happier in the long run. One of them is obviously, you know, this idea of gratitude and acceptance, et cetera, et cetera. But the other thing is that, you know, you have to look at it from the point of view is that, you know, this failure is not the end. Failure is, in many cases, is the beginning. And by the way, definition of failure could be both personal or professional, right? And especially in the professional realm, in the era of innovation, which is what I have been doing pretty much my entire career, every innovation or every creation is experimentation, right? So the likelihood of failing in a process of innovating and creating something new is high. So getting over that failure and taking that learning from that failure, starting the next phase, is a process that we have to embrace happily. And which is a very hard thing to do because you just fail. So how can you be happy? But if you look at it from the point of view that that is, you know, that's the beginning. And I use this word beginner's mind, borrowing from Eastern philosophies. Every time you do something, if you take the beginner's mind and an enthusiastic approach of what you're trying to do and be devoted at it, you will succeed. And as a result, whatever you define success as, right? So for me, some cases that, you know, when I cook a new dish, because I love to cook, to me, making a new dish is a success. So you have to celebrate that little success, creation of something new. And all this mundane thing is actually what cultivates happiness and gets you where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. You said something very important, which is how you frame each incident. We can have different experiences all the time, and it depends on how we look at each one. If we look at failure as something negative, then of course we're going to be unhappy. But if we say, okay, we just found another way of not doing how it's going to get us to where we want to go. So if we frame the experience as something, as a learning opportunity, then we can move forward much easier. So that's really beautiful. And that your cook is a great input to understanding how you are creative in your work, because I think cooking can be a very creative art. I love to cook myself too. So it's a matter of knowing, if I throw all these things together, let's see what comes out, and to have that freedom to do that.
I actually wrote this piece last weekend that just came out this week on Business Insider about this idea of cooking and how it's very meditative but creative. But also, it gives you the confidence to achieve mastery because, you know, once you keep trying over and over again, that's how you achieve mastery, right? And it's like the monk who cleans up the yard repeatedly to get it better and better and better. It's the same kind of idea of doing mundane things, but it conditions your mind to be more, to be more confident and to be more agile in many ways, because you are able to experiment with your confidence as you learn, and the ability to embrace whatever is around you. All that allows us to be more productive and more happy, regardless of whatever you're doing.
So our listeners are learning that they can frame each experience and learn and take that opportunity to be creative from whatever didn't work before. What other things would you tell them to do to attain a state of happiness almost all the time?
I don't think that it is possible to be in that kind of utopia state all the time. But I think that if you look at collection of events and collection of experiences, and you look at the overall collective experiences, that's when you can start judging, you know, whether you are achieving that state or not. So I would say that judge it with a holistic point of view versus, you know, being focused on the end goal all the time. Because if you are focused on the end goal and not accepting your journey, that's when it becomes very much of a defeating purpose.
Mm-hmm. So stay in the journey. And you said something last week, which is about meditating or taking the time out, so to speak, from the world to separate and feel the inside. How would you suggest for people to do that?
There's obviously formal way of doing that, you know, which I kind of learned from studying and whatnot, and we talked a bit of it in my last book about it as well. But there's also a lot of informal things that you can do. Like, for example, you know, since we were talking about cooking, I mean, cooking is a great way to meditate because it you can get lost in the things that you're doing, and you can be utterly focused doing that one thing and one thing only. So, for example, when you're chopping the onion, or when you're boiling your noodles, or when you're making your sauteing your chicken, whatever the case may be, it's a very easy way to meditate with mundane work. When I was in college, I used to do this work, and I had a supervisor who used to force me to be focused on my task at hand. So whenever we get utterly focused on one thing, that is where mindfulness comes from. And mindfulness and meditation goes hand in hand. Because if you're mindful about a task, it puts us in a meditative state.
And in that space and state, we find inner peace.
That's correct. Absolutely.
And also I find that, and I've worked with people on this too, is that when we get into a space of being mindful, then it expands our perspective of what's possible. It seems almost just the opposite of what we think would be happening. But when we're mindful, it expands our perspective, even though we focus very much on whatever we're doing.
Right. And if you look at athletes and high-performing people, they always talk about visualizing where you want to go and how you want to do it. And it comes from that outer mindfulness on your present and your future. And that's what gives you the confidence to move forward. And it's almost, it's like, you know, we have this way of thinking, wishful thinking. But it's more than wishful thinking because you're conditioning your mindset to achieve whatever your goal is, right? So that's, I think, helps you to be persistent about pursuing your purpose.
Mm-hmm. What other suggestions would you give to our listeners on how they can attain some level of comfort and happiness in their lives? You know, they're being mindful, they are looking at lessons as opportunities for growth. You talked last week about having the three stages of how to maintain that direction of where we need to go. What other things would you say?
I would say that, you know, you have to define your own value creation, and meaning the value that you want to create out of your own life. And you have to define your own definition of success. The minute you start comparing your definition of your corporate success or your professional success with other people, that's when you become unhappy, because then you're not really following your authentic call. You're just trying to follow somebody else's path, right? So this is very important, because you can even use business example. Like, for example, you know, if you look at Apple, I mean, Steve Jobs always used to say, it's about the product. I want to create the most insanely creative and usable product, and I don't care about anything else. So that was his calling, and as a result, him and the company achieved enormous amount of success. So you can say that about an author, right? I mean, the most successful author, whether you're writing literature or whether you're writing nonfiction, most author doesn't achieve enormous amount of success before they write maybe 7, 10, 8 books, and that's only then they start achieving success. And the successful authors have a unique voice. It's not writing somebody else's work. They have a unique way of looking at it. So whenever you pursue your unique mindset with your definition of what makes you happy, only then success comes, right? And that success may not be monetary success. It's not about achieving just financial success. It's being happy about what is it that you do that makes you happy. That's very, very important. Without that, it's actually hard to achieve even financial success.
Yes, you have to follow what calls to you inside. And I really like what you said, which is you have to define success for yourself. It may not be what somebody else defines. And so we have to really listen back to our inside, and which is what you said earlier about mindfulness and listening and meditation, where we can find ourselves and then follow that path. And then, of course, we're going to be more successful because we're passionate about it. And of course, when we're passionate about it, we're also happy. So it's a wonderful way to balance it all. And I can't believe that we're running out of time. Any final words you want to give to the listeners so that they have some takeaway?
I would say focus as hard as it is. At least that's what I have been doing pretty much my entire life. Define your journey and enjoy the journey, not so much what's the end goal. The more you get focused on the end goal, the longer it takes, the more you focus on the journey, ironically, time passes by very quickly.
Because you're enjoying each moment and focusing on what's happening. Well, thank you so much for that. Please give us your website so that they can follow up with more and learn more about all your wisdom and your good works.
So you can go to my personal site, which is faisalhoque.com, just like my name. So it's FaisalHoque.com. So faisalhoque.com. That's where you can find some of my writings and other stuff.
Thank you so much, Faisal. This is Marilyn Tam, your host of The Happiness Choice. Till next week.
You've been listening to The Happiness Choice Show with host Marilyn Tam. For show info, schedule, and guest bio, be sure to visit www.fmgradio.com/Marilyn Tam. That's MARILYNTAM.